Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's very own personal finance podcast, where we talk about all things money, your savings, your investments, how you should spend your borrowings and even your earnings. I'm Kaizad Adajania. Last week, a friend of mine reached out to me saying his friend wanted to invest in two mutual fund schemes. My friend just wanted a second opinion. So I asked him which ones. He said some gold ETF and another one was an international ETF. Now, when a retail investor typically asks about ETF, it sounds like an informed choice because one of the reasons is that she wants to avoid fund manager risks, want a low-cost option, and perhaps that is why she chose to invest in an ETF. But a closer look at these two choices tells us that in the last 1 year, gold and US-based funds have given the best returns. The investor just went by the scheme's past returns. It's obvious. And that's the biggest mistake investors make while investing in mutual funds. Today, I'm joined by Mrin Agarwal, who is a financial planner, and she regularly conducts financial training camps in organizations, educating the millennials on how to invest. And Mrin is here to throw some light on why many investors don't make money from mutual funds, capital markets, and even from their general investments, and what we can actually do about it. Hi, Mrin. Welcome to our podcast. So, Mrin, keeping in line with our discussion today, our topic for discussion today, let me just ask, start by asking you a very basic question. You know, many critics of mutual funds, capital markets, you know, they've over a period of time, you know, they say that, at least the non-believers in equity markets, they say that it's akin to gambling. Okay, now, of course, there are people who have profited from investing in capital markets, but there are people who have consistently not made money in markets, and we'll get down to the reasons a little later. But let me just start by addressing this key concern that they have, the cynics have, saying that, you know, capital markets are a place of gambling. They're not fundamental places where you can actually make reasonable money. So can everyone make reasonable money from equity markets in the long runs? I mean, we've known some instances, when markets actually fall, there is a volatile period and there are headlines in newspapers that say that in 10 years' time, Sensex has not returned much. Sensex has returned just 4%. There are sudden comparisons being made to PPF or fixed deposits. So I just wanted to ask you, I mean, is it really possible for people to make reasonable money from capital markets?
Absolutely, it is possible for people to make money from capital markets, provided they do certain things right.
Okay. Such as?
So I think, you know what, the first thing is to really believe that everything cannot go the right way. Have you noticed that where your money is concerned, you want everything to go right? There is absolutely no room for error, right? In many other aspects of our life, we are willing to try out things. We're willing to maybe lose or fail in some things, but where our money is concerned, we want it to go perfect. We only want it to go one way, which is upwards. And obviously, that can be your hope. But the problem really is that if it doesn't happen that way, then we panic really, really fast. So I think, you know, the first thing is to understand that things may not go in a linear fashion. There are going to be those ups and downs, and you need to be having a plan or a strategy to take you through those ups and downs.
So in short, you're saying that people think that it is a risk-free, completely risk-free environment, but there are risks involved, but there are ways to overcome the risks also.
Yeah, and also, you know, stop wanting your money to only grow in linear fashion. So, like, I have met people who always want to say, my stocks are giving me 20% return. Oh, I'm making 30% return out here, you know. So people really want to boast off, or they want to show off that they are making very good linear returns, basically. So I'm saying the first thing is to remember that everything in your portfolio is not going to make that 20-30% return in a consistent manner.
Okay. But Mrin, you are an investment advisor. You've been in this field for a long time. Do people actually follow advice?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, I have had so many cases of, and this especially, as you know, I do some pro bono work as well. So I find a lot of times people come and take advice, but they don't follow through it. And I have this story, which is actually 5 years old. where this person has been connecting with me for the last 5 years on advice. I even helped draw up a financial plan for that person 5 years back, spent a lot of time on it. And then I got a call like 3 years back from the person saying that they didn't follow through and then they wanted to rework. So I actually reworked the plan. And guess what? I get a call at the beginning of COVID. I remember getting a call saying that, I didn't do anything about that plan. And now that we are in this current market situation, what do you think I should be doing? And the icing on the cake was that the person never invested in any of the SIPs that I recommended and came back because the person actually was looking at buying some capital guaranteed insurance. And I was just thinking, 5 years wasted, in giving out good advice, which would have made that person some money. 5 years just gone. The person has had the money lying in the account for the last 5 years.
And which would have probably made him a little bit ready for the COVID scenario when it actually happened.
Yes, yes. So I think one, people don't stick to investment advice when they're given it. And always there's this big crib that financial advisors don't give correct advice. But I also feel that financial advisors do give correct advice. There are enough and more financial advisors who give good advice, but people don't follow through. At the same time, when I look at millennials or when I look at Gen Z, what I do find is that they are very swayed by robo platforms and tend to basically, so if there's a robo advisory which is providing a particular type of a portfolio, then they'll just go with it,
In your experience, not everyone follows a financial planner's advice. Let me just turn the question on its head and ask you whether investors also should mandatorily do some amount of basic homework and research. Is it required? I mean, you have all sorts of investors, right? I mean, you have millennials, you have the young and the old, you have senior citizens also. I mean, let's face it, in a mutual fund, when you are putting your money in a mutual fund, for instance, it's not possible for senior citizens and especially non-finance people to be actually doing a research of where the funds have invested in, etc. So keeping all that in mind, how important is it for an individual investor to do his or her own research before investing?
It is. And if you ask me, in every other aspect of our life, we'll spend time. Like, I always give this example of buying a laptop. Like, if you have to buy a laptop or a phone today, you spend so much of time in researching all the features and the aspects of the phone. So if you can understand that, certainly I think you can understand what investments is about. And I think it is absolutely essential, because what we do see right now is, and we've seen this for a long time, that investors tend to chase trends. They really don't research. So the most common question that I get today in my sessions is about buying international stocks or on investing in gold. And the third one is on investing in index. Now, just this month, I had a column in Money Control on index funds, where I talked about the performance of index versus the actively managed funds over longer periods of time. And the fact that just blindly investing in an index fund is not going to give you a diversified portfolio. So similarly, just because international stocks have been doing well, it doesn't mean that you open an account and just try to go out and buy international stocks. And as far as senior citizens are concerned, certainly what they were used to for decades has changed. They were used to higher interest rates. And with the change that has happened on that front, they do need to spend some time in reading up. And there are enough resources which are available for senior citizens also to read up and understand. And apart from that, and I would like to say this specifically for senior citizens, follow the basic principles about risk. So if today the top Indian nationalized bank is giving you 5.5% for a fixed deposit for 1 year, and if somebody else is giving you 8%, it clearly means that you're taking a lot more risk.
Okay. And there are also, you mentioned about international equities and gold being the flavor of the day. And, I've also I think a couple of days back, somebody was asking me that one of their neighbors was approached by a P2P firm, peer-to-peer, and saying that, you'll get returns, you lend money. The word lending was never used. It is always an investment. So, I mean, there's too many of these kind of so-called new age strategies which have come about, right? I mean, which are very unorthodox, very purportedly risky strategies. So, what's the most, tell us some of the most outrageous strategies that you would have heard people getting swayed towards, apart from your usual, let's say, a credit risk fund or a gold fund or an international fund?
Well, till a couple of years back, there were a whole lot of real estate AIFs, which have not made money.
Yeah.
I think over the last, with the advent of the robo-advisories and digital platforms, I would say, I will say two things. One, in terms of new products, it's clearly P2P, which is peer-to-peer lending. And there was one more product on bills discounting that I came across. The third product that I came across was where you could part buy a property just for 18 months. And that was akin to lending money to a builder for 18 months and then getting your money back, which you are, if you ask me, is really, really risky. Of course, cryptocurrencies is picking up again. It's been given all sorts of nice fancy names. But at the end of the day, all of these investments are really risky. And the one factor in this is that if today a fixed deposit gives you 6%, and if in a P2P or in a crypto, if you're making like 9 to whatever 15%, or as I said, in that real estate product, people were making 18%, then clearly there's a huge amount of risk that is involved out there. There is another big risk with some. I would not taint all of the robo advisories saying that all of them are doing this, but there are certain platforms which show you certain pre-structured portfolios depending upon what your risk is. And I find that some of the investments that they are recommending do not really tie in with the correct time horizon. So clearly, these are outrageous portfolio strategies which are only working on returns. And investors who are doing this really need to remember whether they're going to get back their principal or not.
But Mirin, also, one side note before we move to the last question. Because you've mentioned robo-advisors and digital platforms twice in our talk so far. But the fact of the matter is that, for small ticket investments, these kind of technology-enabled platforms are necessary, right? Because financial planners, the kind of fees that they charge, the small person for 5,000, 10,000 SIP a month may not be able to, it may not be economical for the financial planner to service that client and vice versa, right? So for the mass population, if you have to bring them into the investment world, you need to have some sort of digital platform for them to come, right? I mean, then after a point in time, if God willing, if their salaries grow, if their portfolios grow, then maybe they can shift to an advisor such as you or anyone else. But don't you think that some of these robo-advisors and digital platforms are also required?
Oh, they're absolutely required. And I've been reading that a lot of them have penetrated into tier 2 and tier 3 cities, which is really nice. But all I'm saying is that buyer beware. That's all I'm saying. So do your reading, do your research. Don't just fall for something that you're being shown.
Okay. Last question then. What is the takeaway for our listeners? What do you, other than, of course, the universal truth about not stopping your SIPs in volatile markets and being disciplined, what other things that people should do to ensure that they actually make money for their investments?
The first thing that I think any investor should do is to have a vision statement. And I'm going to be writing about this more in detail probably next month in Money Control. But I really feel that we need to have I really feel that investors need to work on some sort of a vision statement. Because what I find is that, and I've always seen this, that you're earning your hard-earned money or investing, and you're just putting it somewhere thinking that this is going to give you some great returns, but you don't have a vision in terms of how you actually want to utilize your money in the long term. And this is like going much beyond financial goals, right? So obviously financial goals is a part of this, but it's much beyond that. It's much beyond saying that I want to get to this position so that I can have the time to lead my life the way I want to, right? So somewhere I feel that you need to have a vision in mind along about your money. And part of this visioning is going to then have a plan in place, which means that hopefully you'll get around to doing a financial plan. And I feel that this really needs to be the starting points. Then, of course, focus on your financial security, the emergency cash, which I think has been talked about enough and more during COVID. Of course, financial planning, risk management is so important in any portfolio, which a lot of people don't look at, because you cannot control how markets are going to behave, but you can control various other factors in your portfolio and bring down the risk in your portfolio. So I feel that these are some factors that investors don't look at. One is risk management, looking at the liquidity in their portfolio, looking whether they have financial security, and really getting the start right, essentially.
That's great to learn, Brin. Thank you so much for your valuable insights today. I hope that, you know, after listening to your advice, people would go from not profiting from their investments to profiting from their investments by following all these simple to-do things that you have guided us today with. Thank you so much, Brin, for joining. Pleasure to have you, and hope to have you again soon on our show.
Thanks a lot, Kazad. It's always a pleasure.
That's all from us, folks. Keep listening to Simply Save. And if you have any feedback for us, do write in to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views, and updates, log on to moneycontrol.com.